Tonight, I'm speaking on wise men. Wisdom is an important virtue. Unfortunately, it is very scarce. There are multitudes of people in this world that are very intelligent, smart, or you might use the word crafty, but they have no wisdom at all. Wisdom comes from God. A wise person knows what God's will is. And so I'd like to speak tonight from Matthew chapter 2 on the wise men. But it's going to go beyond chapter 2. We need wisdom, every one of us. It is all too easy for us to act foolishly, unwisely, to get involved in things that we ought not to do things that we should not do. And in our better moments, we realize that. But on the spur of the moment, it's oftentimes difficult to think that way. But a wise man centers his thought on God. A wise man bases his actions upon what this book says, because this is God's word. This book reveals to us what God thinks is wise. In Matthew chapter 2, when Jesus was born, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now that says an awful lot in a few words. These were men from a far distant place. They hadn't come up through Judaism. They didn't know all about the religion of the Jews, but they did have contact with some scriptures. How do we know that? Because they seek the King of the Jews. And what is significant is the language that is used. In Numbers 24:17, you need not turn there, but there it turns out that there shall come a star out of Jacob. And this is something that is very important, because that was an ancient prophecy going back to the days of Moses. And that star out of Jacob was to be the great messianic king. Now, they had seen his star in the east, which means they had seen some kind of astronomical phenomena, whatever it was, and they identified it as the prophesied advent of the great king. So they had some revelation here. I hope you all recognize that no one is saved because he knows a lot. There are people who think that, oh, well, if I just knew more of the Bible, you know, I'd be better off. No, that wouldn't help at all. If you trust the part you know and act upon it, you're safe. Merely knowing more doesn't make anyone more saved. Merely knowing more about the Bible doesn't make you a better person. Believing and submitting to what you do know is everything. Every one of us know something in the Bible. Every one of us know some things that are there. The more we're faithful in obeying what we do know and responding to those verses that we do know, the closer we come to God. And these wise men took what they did know and acted upon it. And it meant a long journey. They knew that the word came from Palestine, and that meant a long journey, hundreds of miles, from Persia all the way across to the Mediterranean and down the coast to Palestine. And they did all that because they were wise. They understood what little bit of God's revelation they had, and they acted upon it. They were wise people. Now, friends, we can all be in that same category. Whatever level of spiritual perception you may have, however much you know of Scripture, if you act upon what you do know, if you live what you do understand, now you are wise. Now you are doing what God wants you to do. You're responding to His word. And because of that, you are wise. Now, wisdom is a precious commodity. Knowing God's word, being able to respond to it properly, is a very precious thing. And all of us should covet that gift of wisdom. And it begins with simple obedience, doing what you know God's word says, doing what you obviously understand is God's will. That's where it always starts for every one of us. And the more you respond, and the more active your obedience is, the more you understand, the more you see in Scripture, the more you find to shape your life and guide your steps. That is a wonderful thing, the progress in Christian knowledge and growth. Now, I'd like us to turn for a moment back to the book of Proverbs, because in Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a wise woman. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 9, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And that referring to the instruction of the family. Of course, instruction in keeping with the knowledge of the Lord. And wisdom in this chapter is personified. If you drop down to verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now here she is pictured as a woman who cries out, summoning people to the right pathway, to the pathway of God's will and God's word. And when she refers to simple ones, she doesn't mean just intelligence, but she means basic simplicity. Those in their hearts have made a simple choice. They want their own will, not God. These are the simple ones, because they think they're going to come out ahead. They think they're shrewd, they're crafty, because they're choosing for their own advantage at the expense of others, and certainly in total rebellion against God and His word. Well, they are not wise. They are very foolish. For the person who does that is destroying himself. He is shattering his life. And for these people, they don't know it. There are not always instantaneous consequences. There are consequences, all right. But oftentimes they don't show up right away. And these simple ones are going down the wrong pathway, gathering things perhaps that are not rightfully theirs, doing whatever they can to enlarge their own coasts and benefit themselves, and they think they're coming out ahead. Well, they are not. They're destroying themselves. They're harming others in the process. And wisdom is here saying, you simple ones, they're choosing the wrong pathway, and they will reap the whirlwind. And so the appeal here is, turn you at my reproof. Now, everyone can make a choice in their life. Everyone can stop going down one pathway and turn to another. And that is the burden of Proverbs. These simple ones had chosen the wrong pathway. They were going down a path that leads to destruction. It is a slippery slope, and one's on it very difficult to turn around and go the other way. But when you do, you find true knowledge. You know things that are God's will. You know things that please God. And in that, you have great assurance and great inward peace. A wise person is always a person who recognizes God's will and acts upon it, whatever the cost. He stands for what Scripture teaches, and he walks God's pathway, even though others may say, oh, you're wasting your life, you're ignoring great opportunities. No, we are traveling down a pathway that leads to the presence of God. That is wisdom. For he is wisdom. He always knows the perfect thing to do. He always knows the exact pathway that will gain the greatest benefit and blessing to every person. When we turn to Him and ask for guidance, when we seek His pathway, we are aligning ourselves with the wisdom of the ages, God Himself. That is always blessedness. It is always a course of action that leads to great benefit. And now wisdom directs our steps toward God and urges us to take the right pathway. In chapter 3 and verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Yes, true happiness is not found in sinful indulgence in pleasures, not found in a wicked course of action. There's always bitter regret. But in the pathway of God's will, there is never regret. His will is always perfect, and it leads to a perfect destination, His blessing and His presence. So a wise person is looking beyond the present scene. He's looking down that pathway to see God's pathway, to see the pathway that would bring greatest honor to God. And in doing that, he is making his own pathway the most blessed pathway possible. Solomon certainly knew what he was saying. In chapter 8 and verse 32, he pictures wisdom again as the wise woman saying, "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Now there's the tremendous consequences for choosing the wrong pathway. It is not just a hard pathway. It leads to utter destruction. It leads to everlasting death. Not just cessation of existence, but the loss of everything that makes life worth living. Now, friends, when you choose for God, when you go down the pathway in His direction, you're finding everything that makes life worth living. You're finding joy. You're finding peace. You're finding the love of God and the loving fellowship of His people. What wondrous blessing is found in wisdom. Now, you all know that in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom. If you will turn back to Matthew, this time to chapter 12 and verse 42, we come to the words of the Lord in which He's instructing people in the right, wise pathway. And He speaks in verse 42 to a multitude that is not altogether with Him. And He says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Now here's the Lord Jesus identifying Himself as the wisdom of God. In the Old Testament, no question, Solomon was the wisest man ever recorded in Scripture. He had tremendous insight. Wonderful wisdom to solve problems and lead a government and decide judgment. And it's a wonderful record that's back there. But the Lord Jesus says, here is one who has greater wisdom than Solomon. Now, that is not on a human plane at all. It is on a divine plane. The Lord Jesus is wisdom. He imparted wisdom to Solomon. He gave Solomon his wise heart. He can give us wisdom He can impart to us the ability to choose wise pathways, wise decisions, and hence we need him desperately. We're constantly confronted with choices, and all too often we choose foolishly. We choose after appearances rather than truly his will. And so Christ, greater than Solomon, is able to impart to all of us the wisdom that we need day by day as we walk this pilgrim pathway. And we should be wise enough to ask for it. He does not force his wisdom upon us. He offers it to us. It's in Scripture. And as we read this blessed book, as we meditate upon the teachings of Scripture, we find the wisdom of God. We stumble across it. It becomes illuminated as we see the word, and all of a sudden we see what it really means. What a blessing that is. How inspirational that is to see the true meaning of Scripture. Now, it's clear that the Lord Jesus understood precisely what was going to follow. And when he warned the people, they did not understand what was involved, but he understood precisely what was going to follow his ministry. In chapter 23 of Matthew, we have a different discourse of the Lord. And dropping down to verse 34, he warned a hostile audience this time, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar." Now he's speaking to an audience that has rejected his teaching, people who had hardened their hearts against him, turned away from the path of life. And he's pronouncing a judgment upon them. But he's also prophesying what he's going to do. He is going to found a church. They didn't understand that. He is going to send these people to them as evangelists and preachers. They will hear the gospel. But instead of responding as they should, they will turn them down just as they had turned him down. And we think of Stephen, martyred in the book of Acts. We think of the Apostle Paul after he was converted, hounded from city to city and persecuted wherever he went. Yes, all this was literally fulfilled. He sent people to them, and they ministered to them, and they persecuted them and did not repent. So, very obviously, the Lord Jesus is offering to people wisdom that they need desperately. Wisdom that demands submission to God, accepting his will, humbly obeying what they see in Scripture. To people in the world, they're too proud to do that. They know what they want. They know the right pathway. They know how to come out ahead. But they won't. They're going to lose because they choose the world instead of Christ. Christ is wisdom. And at the time of his nativity, we think of the babe born in Bethlehem. But he is the wisdom of God. And as we see in the discourses in the Gospels, he had infinite wisdom, could solve everyone's problems, could bring everyone into the right relationship with his heavenly Father. He still can. There's not a solitary problem that any of us have that he cannot solve. There's not a single burden that he is not able to lift for you. He is able to guide every Christian, to guide the steps of every person, no matter how puzzled they may be by circumstances. He is never puzzled by circumstances. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the exact right pathway. He knows precisely what every one of us should do. And we need to seek his face. We need to ask him for guidance. We need to seek him as our wisdom. because we lack wisdom. We lack the understanding of Scripture that we ought to have, and we need to come to Him and seek His face and ask Him for illumination, to open our eyes, that we may see what is in Scripture, that we may choose wisely and come out at the right destination. Now, in the epistles, there's a great deal said about the Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, for example, chapter 1 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, "We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now, there is the happy union in the person of Christ. He has all wisdom and He has all power. Anything else would be a catastrophe. If He did not have wisdom, His power might crush everyone. If He did not have the power, His wisdom would go to waste. But He has both the wisdom and the power to accomplish all the will of His Father and to bring every one of His dear children to the right exact place they should be and guide their steps into that heavenly home that He is preparing for them. The wisdom of God. How marvelous that the Lord Jesus is everything we need. All that we need for the journey. All that we need for the choices of life. He is God's wisdom. In verse 30, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, here is one of the precious promises in Scripture. Everything you need is in Christ. Not just a certain portion of it, not just the spiritual element of life, but every last part of it is in Christ. He is all wisdom, all righteousness, our sanctification, setting us apart for God, redemption, purchasing us, buying us back from sin. All that we need is in Him. Now, that is the real truth of the epistles. So that, he goes on to say, according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, that ought to be our purpose. Not to glory in our wisdom, which is small enough, and not to glory in the things that we have accumulated. No, to glory in the Lord, because He is everything, and He always will be everything for us. There's nothing else we need but the Lord. He did that deliberately, so that all those who choose the Lord Jesus Christ would have everything else also. The irony of it is, all those people who choose selfishly, for their own benefit, at the expense of others, are throwing away everything. Their own future, their eternal prosperity, they're destroying themselves in spurning the Lord. My friends, and the Christmas season is a good time to think of these things and to recognize how much He has done for us in Christ. Why should He come to earth, this veil of tears, for a people that are so rebellious, so unthankful? How rarely even God's saints remember to give thanks. Why should He do that? My friends, the only answer biblically is because He loved us. There is no other good reason. Frankly, friends, we aren't worth it. He could have done much better than us. But by grace, He chose the weak and the foolish to exalt them to a place of prominence and wisdom because He loved us. And there's no other reason. How great is His love. How great is His wisdom to choose unlikely material and transform that material into servants of the Lord who will be with Him for all the ages of the future. He will delight to use our services. And by that time, we will be prepared to serve as we ought to. Wise people, submit to the Lord Jesus and walk his pathway and walk humbly with him, because they know that he knows far better than they what kind of pathway they should have, where they should be going, why they should be doing what they're doing. He knows exactly his plan for every believer's life. And all of us can find comfort and peace in the sense that we can give ourselves into his hands, put ourselves in the center of his will, let him accomplish his purpose through us, whatever that may be, and he will triumph. He will perfect what he is working on. He will make us what we ought to be. And for endless ages, we shall have the joy of singing his praises, celebrating how great he is, because he did it all. We didn't plan anything. We didn't accomplish anything. We just chose his will and let him do it. My friends, that is wisdom. Instead of choosing selfishly, this is what I want, the wise choice is, Lord, what dost thou want? Help me to choose thy will, to walk humbly with thee, and to let thee accomplish all that thou dost intend. The Christmas season is a very special time when we can think of how much he did for us and how gracious he is toward his humble people. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. That's why we sing hymns of praises, carols at Christmas time. We're singing how great he is, how marvelous his grace is. And indeed, we should continue singing. We have much to sing about. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul writes to Timothy and says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ, submission to his will, walking his pathway, makes the servants of the Lord powerful. Timothy was obviously troubled by the thought of having to step into the Apostle Paul's shoes. They didn't fit, and he knew it. But friends, he didn't have to match Paul. All he had to do was let the Lord Jesus use him, just as Paul let him use him. And that's all any of us can do, friends. We can't step into the shoes or sandals of an apostle. There's no way. But we can walk the pathway that the Lord sets out before us, and humble submission to that pathway, walking daily in his will, seeking to please him, choosing for him. That's the pathway. You will come out at the right place. In James 3:17, James says, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Simple trust in the Lord Jesus. Simple obedience. It doesn't matter what your age is, what your intelligence is. Only thing that matters is you choose Christ and walk humbly with him. He does all the rest. The writer to the Hebrews says, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He did it all. He accomplished everything. And all we have to do is to accept that and walk humbly that pathway that leads home. Wise men choose Christ and his pathway and humble obedience, because that leads home. No other path leads that way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh Lord, forgive us that we often choose foolishly. Forgive us that we often choose selfishly. Help us that we may choose thee and rest in thy wisdom and power and love. Help us, Lord, that we may walk humbly with thee, seeking to accomplish thy will. And at this Christmas season, indeed, give us the sense of thy presence, that wherever we go, we may take the Lord Jesus and walk humbly with him, and let him accomplish everything through us. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.